April 30th, 2010, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Lullabot Podcast number 80. We get together every so often, Lullabot team, and talk about Drupal. This week we're talking about DrupalCon, which we all went to last week, and we are back. And we figured we'd do a wrap-up podcast, and for people who got to go to DrupalCon, a little walk down memory lane, and for people who didn't get to go to DrupalCon, a little information about what you might have missed out on. I'm Jeff
Suckers.
Robbins.
No, I'm, I'm
Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with
Angie Byron
and
Jeff Eaton
and
Kent Bye,
as well as
Karen Stevenson,
and last but certainly not least,
Jared Bittner.
Well, yes, DrupalCon. Good time.
It was pretty amazing.
It was big. Monstrous.
We sound shell-shocked even talking about it right now.
I'm still exhausted.
It was the biggest event the Drupal community has ever had. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it's basically like over double the previous biggest DrupalCon. Or at least close to double.
Well, that's the thing. It's been an exponential growth curve. I mean, I keep telling people, like, the first Drupal event I went to was in 2006, just after Lullabot got started. There was a, what do we call it, an OS, Open Source CMS Summit in Vancouver. And there were, I think, 70 Drupal people there and, like, 30 non-Drupal people. But it was still kind of Drupal-dominated. And then the next thing, I mean, it just has doubled every time. The next one had like 150 people, and then we did Drupal. I think that was called, there was sort of a changeover when we went to Yahoo. It was sort of called an Open Source CMS Summit by some people. I kept calling it a DrupalCon.
and we had 300 people, including whoever didn't come for Drupal.
Yep, that was 300. Yep. And it's just keeps doubling.
I'm doing some quick numbers here. It was 75 and then 350 and then 3,000. So by my calculations, the next North American DrupalCon will need to take place in the entire state of Rhode Island.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, which is good for me because I'm close by, you know. Sweet. Of course, we'll have to actually oust all of the people from Rhode Island. So, I don't know.
Or just convert them, you know.
Just turn them into Drupal people. Yes. Dear Rhode Island, let us tell you about Drupal nodes.
Yeah.
It's like the way religious conversions happened for nations in the Middle Ages. It's like Rhode Island is now a Drupal state. Exactly. Congratulations.
We have news from the king. to be the king of Rhode Island. Anyways, but yes, it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And 3,000 this time. So next time, I think, if Jeff Eden's calculations are correct, should be what, like 100-150,000 people. So that's that's exciting.
I don't hold me to that number. I'm just saying if my graph here is correct.
Your graphs have never led us astray.
You have one of those graphs that goes like straight up into infinity, right?
Yes. It's the final point on the graph reads human singularity.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about actually what did happen at DrupalCon rather than all this. So first of all, yes, it was huge. 3,056 people attended all in all. They were expecting I think the nice thing about this was that it could accommodate like a lot of people. I think it could accommodate up to almost 5,000 people, which is great because I think almost every DrupalCon that I can think of has sold out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it was nice to not sell out.
I think you could say every. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's nice. There were 132 different sessions. And most of them, most if not all of them, are up online now at archive.org. If you don't mind waiting to download.
Well, actually, you can go to the.
They're on the session pages. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
They were like really nice. On that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. This is like the fastest I've ever seen that happen. It was really cool. Well,
DC was pretty fast too. Awesome. I remember thinking DC was really fast with getting those sessions.
Well, this was different this year because apparently it would cost a huge amount to actually have a video of the people, and so they did kind of a direct screen capture of the of whatever slides people were having. So it's just the voice and the slides, which if you look at the other videos, is probably good enough in terms of, like, you know, most of the other videos in the past have been like a video camera, like
video camera way in the back trying to capture both the person and the screen, and you can't really read what's happening on the screen, but yeah, I guess the downside of this is that if people don't have very compelling slides, you get to watch their non-compelling slides, but you get to hear it, which is nice. so yeah, I mean, I know like South by Southwest has had the same problem. I think that for the most part, South by Southwest just puts up audio of things.
Yeah, they actually just say that they have podcasts of the sessions,
right?
Rather than trying to say there are any kind of slide capturing. But I think I do think this the way this turned out was a really cool, like, sort of middle ground between trying to do like relatively labor intensive video captures of every single session versus just, you know, here's a direct feed of the audio. So
yeah,
so it turned out pretty cool, I think. And and in addition, This is also a first for DrupalCon. There were 500 people that got Drupal training the day before DrupalCon too. There was like a whole day of just training for people who wanted to learn how to do like theming and module development and site building and stuff, which is pretty spectacular.
And we trained a bunch of those people.
We did. There were actually, I don't remember. There were something like, I'm just totally stabbing in the dark here. I feel like that there were about 15 different sessions of different classes, and we taught 6 of those sessions. So yes, a whole bunch of that was
pretty exciting.
Was us, and it was a good time.
And we had some great new the new Lullabot trainers were there, so that was awesome.
Yep, that's actually an announcement. I don't think we've announced that on the podcast before, but we have.
That's right.
We put it up on the Lullabot blog. I'm just trying to bring it up here, so I'm sure to say the same thing. There it is. Yeah, we have new. We announced new Lullabot trainers. Of course. So things are funny here at Lullabot. We've been hiring some people recently. So we brought Jared here on the podcast in as a trainer, and then promptly hired him as a full time Lullabot developer. There's some overlap here now between the trainers and people who are full-time Lullabots. But the trainers are Jared Bittner, Randy Fay, James Sansbury, Joe Schindler, and Jen Simmons, all of whom have distinguished themselves in various ways in the Drupal community.
In other words, they're awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome. And we're just really excited to have a larger training team now. Training is a lot of what we do. We do public workshops that we usually announce on the podcast, and some people complain that we talk about our stuff too much, but we do them and we need to promote them, so bear with us. But we also do a lot of private training, where we go into companies or schools or that kind of thing, you know, where they have groups of people that need training on Drupal, and we do a lot of that, and that's a lot of our training business as well. And so historically, we've had to take our consultants off of their consulting work to have them go and do this training stuff. And now we're going to be able to do both things at once, which is very exciting for us. So if you go to the Lulla blog, lullabot.com/blog, scroll down a bit, you can see the announcement about the new Drupal trainers. And we had them help out with the training, and it was great. They're all just as great as we hoped that they would be. So we're really
happy. It was really fantastic, and it was just big crowds of people who showed up for these training events. I mean, I think it was really exciting seeing this many people be able to come to DrupalCon and not just say, you know, I'm here. There's sessions. I'm sort of, you know, left to figure out how I'm going to learn stuff. It felt like all of the different classes that people came for, they got a good solid grounding of like a day of training, and then they were able to go and sort of approach the buffet style, you know, conference session list with a much more, you know, focused idea of what they were trying to get out.
Yeah, it also. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it really signifies a difference in how the DrupalCons are evolving, because I mean, originally it was just a bunch of people around a piece of software who knew that software and got together to, you know, gush about the software. and now, you know, there's actually people coming in that don't really know a whole lot about it. They're just like, what is this Drupal thing? I'm here to learn something, and then, you know, try to get as much as they can out of the conference itself.
Yeah. I think it was great to have like a sort of the first day to meet other people who are sort of at your same level, so you have some people to kind of bond with during the conference as well. Like, I heard that kind of feedback where, you know, it's kind of intimidating to go to 3,000 people crowd and, like, you know, people like Earl Miles there and stuff like that, and, you know, it was kind of nice.
Are you saying that Earl is intimidating?
I'm just saying he's really smart, you know. You know,
it's funny, you know, these people starting to sort of build their celebrity at DrupalCon. You see, like, Earl walking around and all these people sort of walking behind him saying things like, I've got a patch, I've got an idea, Views, I think Views should, you know, and you sort of see them, and Angie as well, walking around, Angie being the Drupal 7 co-maintainer.
They've all got their groupies
they've got their
yeah, man.
You got your groupies too, Karen.
Yeah, I went to your session, Karen, and right at the end, they just, like, attacked you. It was amazing.
In a very cheery, I would like Aztec calendars to work kind of.
For those of you who don't listen to this podcast very often, Karen Stevenson is, in addition to being the co-maintainer of CCK, is also the... you actually kind of wrote the date and calendar
date
modules.
And calendar, yeah.
Yeah, and so she is the queen of time. The time queen. The Drupal time queen. Anyone needing to do anything time-based in Drupal needs to go bow at Karen's feet and hope for Aztec calendars or whatever they need.
good times.
Yes, good times.
I really do think that, like, you know, talk about, like, this training and the number of people who attended, and there were, like, you know, what, 130 plus sessions and stuff like that, and the fact that now, like, there's actual systems that are going into place for, like, how we're going to approach trying to put sessions online. I mean, all this stuff really speaks to the fact that we've hit a major sort of tipping point in the Drupal community, and I think DrupalCon is really reflecting that. Like, I think the number was, you know, DrupalCon ended up spending $72,000 in coffee. Just like it's
an indicator of several things. It's an indicator of, wow, these developers drink a lot of coffee, and also and also the Moscone Center charges a ridiculous price for coffee.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, I don't drink that much coffee in, like, a month. And I mean,
but so, 2 months, you probably drank $72,000 worth of coffee.
Catching up there. I mean, I think the other thing that they said was it was like the second largest number of simultaneous Wi-Fi connections Moscone Center had ever had going at a conference, which, you know, big high fives all around. We saturated their Wi-Fi network. Right.
And it worked. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good Wi-Fi.
I mean, it was real smooth.
So we have some inside experience with this, running the with Drupal conference. I, for instance, know how much these places charge for coffee, which is surprisingly ridiculous. I'm like $200 a pot of coffee, you know.
Some fine coffee.
But I do also know that it's really hard to get, you know, good quality Wi-Fi when you get a lot of people on it and stuff like that. So I really, that's something we certainly don't take for granted. And it worked generally good. There were a few times that it was a little slow for me, but then it would get faster. So
I was able to. I think it really, really speaks to the fact that, I mean, there was a sort of weird middle ground that DrupalCon went through for a little while, where there was still this strong, you know, ethos of like, oh yeah, you know, so who wants to organize DrupalCon this year? You know, get something together. And, you know, that works with 75 people, 200 people. It's hard with 200 people, but like, you know, you can imagine doing that. And like, then we hit this middle ground where like, it was like, ooh, we were still sort of coasting on that approach, but it was very clear that this was not really going to work. And I feel like this year really came together, and there were a lot of questions about how smoothly things were going to go with as many people as were being predicted. And I think it really, really came together nicely.
Well, let's take a moment to do some shout outs to the people that organized DrupalCon this year. I don't have the list in front of me, and so I'm sure I'm going to miss some people. But basically, it was Matt Chaney sort of organized some other people, Matt Chaney from Chapter 3, with other people from Chapter 3 and also other people from San Francisco, really kind of headed up the whole thing and just did an amazing job. It was really great seeing Matt get up and just had, he had a really great energy, you know, getting up on stage making the announcements each day, and in particular seeing him at the closing ceremonies, which I got to get up and sing the Drupal song at for people who came to that. It's probably online somewhere.
Surely.
Maybe it probably has a remix by now with disco music in the back.
Maybe. You know. Maybe it will rank higher on YouTube than that other Drupal song video, which scares me. So we'll see. Hopefully. And
Other people who need kudos are Jennifer Lampton, also of Chapter 3.
Who did the training stuff and a whole bunch of other stuff too. But the training, again, a thing that we really appreciate, having done this a lot ourselves, for it to go off without a hitch. I mean, just simple things like, you know, having the microphones set up in the room and the video projectors set up in the room and power for people, you know, for their laptops and Wi-Fi for them and all that kind of stuff. Really, it sounds like kind of basic stuff, but it's, boy, nothing to be taken for granted.
Yeah, Jen Lampton was seen running around during that training day, basically juggling the universe in her two hands.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. She did an amazing job. Goodness, I don't have a list in front of me, but if you helped organize DrupalCon, you are awesome.
Yes. Hooray! Yeah, it was amazing.
I talked to Carrie Gordon a bit too for a Drupal Voices interview, and the Drupal Association is also kind of stepping in more of a role in organizing, and it is kind of not just, it was more of a regional effort too, because I know Crystal Williams was also involved as well and doing a lot of stuff. So
I did want to mention Carrie Gordon, who's been kind of, what is he now, events coordinator at the Drupal Association, is that?
Yeah, or events manager, or some
various,
fancy title.
Various titles over time, but I did talk to him, and he was walking around looking very authoritative, which is good.
Oh, man. And Kieran, and Lauren Roth, and Stephanie Cannon, and I don't know. They did a big shout-out at the end there, but there was literally like hundreds of people that were involved in the making of this event, and so they're all awesome.
Yeah. So let's kind of go through and talk about some sort of specific stuff. I mean, these are always very subjective look at things. With 3,000 people, I think everyone sort of had a different experience. But we at Lullabot got to speak on a bunch of sessions and panels, and we were involved in the training and stuff like that. And so I thought it'd be sort of interesting to kind of go through and I don't know, just do a quick sort of chronological rundown of how things were. For us, the first thing for Angie and I, at least, if anybody wasn't following Lullabot on Twitter, where we tweeted all about this, we got to go up and do an interview with Leo Laporte, who runs Twit, which is this Week in Tech podcast network, at twit.tv, and we went up and did an interview with him, which he's put out as a podcast special thing, and it's up on YouTube as well and stuff like that, and just kind of talk generally to the rest of the world, the rest of the tech world, about Drupal, which is always a good thing to do. DrupalCon is certainly fun to do, but the people that come are the people that already know about Drupal, and it's even more fun sometimes talking to people that don't know about Drupal about Drupal.
Because they don't know about Batch API yet.
Yes, exactly. Oh, what they're missing with Batch API. I'm probably missing it myself.
a lot of pain, a lot of tears.
But that was fun, right, Ange?
Yeah, that was actually great. It was a weird format where, like, as soon as you walk in this door, everything that you say is on camera. And so that was a little intimidating because, you know, like, my friends are making fun of me because I said something about Vancouver being less French or something like that. And so they're all giving me crap for saying that. So anyway, so you just got to watch that a little bit. But no, it was fun. It was a good time. Like, it was interesting because Leo Laporte Twit TV is one of the older Drupal sites that Lullabot ever worked on. So it's neat to see them, you know, continuing to use it as a platform. And they showed us some of the cool new things that they're thinking of doing. And that was really cool.
Yeah, they're expanding what they're doing. They've got some neat stuff on the horizon. And then we did, so for people that don't know, Lullabot is a, what we call a virtual company. We don't have a central office. We kind of all work from wherever we happen to live, and we happen to live all over. So it's a good chance for us for these events, DrupalCon and our Drupal conference and other things like that, training stuff that we do, for us to get together and actually be able to see each other in person. And
it's pretty awesome.
And stuff like that. So we got together. We rented a huge house in San Francisco. And we did a Lullabot retreat there for a couple of days, and so that was really good to get together. Like I said, we've just expanded our team some. Jared Bittner and Dave Burns, formerly of Rapid Waters Development, have just joined the team. Seth Brown is our new project manager, and he was there too. Got to meet everybody, and we also have two other new Lullabots who we have yet to even blog about on our website. Maybe I'll try and get
their,
the blog
their
post
secret
up.
Lullabots.
Yeah, I'll try and get the blog post up before this comes out, so maybe I don't know, people can find out about it at least simultaneously. Jared Ponchot and James Sansbury come to Lullabot from a company called Sprocket Creative in Atlanta, and so they're very design focused. Jared Ponchot in particular is a person that defines as a designer, so we're really excited to have some more better design talent on the team.
People who aren't red, green, colorblind are always welcome.
yeah. And we've got a new, I keep saying in various places, I made the mistake of getting on Twit and saying, yes, we're going to launch a new lullabot.com before DrupalCon. And of course, then we got all busy with the retreat and DrupalCon and stuff. But soon, we'll be very soon, and so you'll be able to see all the wonderful work.
It's really close.
It is. It's really close. Yeah, hopefully soon. So Lullabot retreat, and then on Saturday there was a core developer summit. You want to talk some about that?
Yeah, I can take that. Sure. Yeah. So the core developer summit, there was a little bit of like kerfuffle beforehand because it was one of those things you have to like submit slides to get in, and so some people submitted like chicken slides where the whole thing said chicken.
The idea was to have sort of a threshold because it was not sort of open to anyone. It was basically, you know, it wanted to be people who were actually doing core development.
Or were interested in participating in some way.
Yeah, as long as you, it was basically to show a good faith effort that I'm here to contribute. I'm not here to demand, why are you doing things this way, and shake my finger at you kind of thing. And so the day was done sort of like a mix between sort of these little 5-minute lightning talk presentations and then breakout sessions where we talk about, you know, the first block of talks was about sort of like processes and how the Drupal core queue process goes and how we can improve that. And then the second block was like about all these crazy stuff like exportables and context and, you know, render API and things like that and how to make those better. So it was a good mix of like standing up and talking and then breaking out into smaller groups to just sort of hammer down on things. And the whole idea of it was to kind of sit face to face with people and talk and plan rather than actually sitting down to write code, because we had code sprints coming up after that and throughout the conference. And I think a lot of really interesting, fascinating stuff got talked about there that Eaton can probably speak to more than I can. But I thought the overall format was great. It really felt like that first OSCMS in Vancouver, you know, with 70 people. It just was really cool. We all went around and, you know, said, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I do the blah-blah thing. And it was just great to see so many people. You know, we had everybody from, like, you know, people who work on documentation stuff to people who work on usability. We had Everett Zufelt, who's the kind of the accessibility maintainer of Drupal Core. And, you know, just all of this, all these people in one room collaborating together. It was really, really awesome.
Yeah, I got to say, a lot of people were buzzing about the presentation that Everett gave, because he's actually blind. And so he came in and, you know, he's being supported by a company up in Canada to kind of like test the usability and test the accessibility of Drupal 7. And so he has a team around him, and he's like kind of going in there and looking at things through a screen reader and trying to identify accessibility issues. And I think he just had a lot of presence and just, you know, compelling message that really kind of hit people. In terms of, like, you know, Drupal's good at accessibility, and like, let's make Drupal 8 basically the best that we can possibly make it. So I think a lot of people that I talked to afterwards kind of like were, you know, that was kind of a surprise in terms of like people weren't expecting, you know, that to kind of come up and be affected by that as much. So
yeah, and Jen Simmons gave a really good talk too about kind of UX standards and, you know, why sometimes we use machine name here and other times title here, we call it this and that, and had a really good presentation, and that struck a lot of people as really cool. And then Larry got up there and did some crazy ass thing about context or whatever, like
Larry Garfield.
Larry Garfield.
That actually plays in with some other interesting developments. I don't know if how many people are like follow the sort of inside baseball of like the Drupal developer community. There's been, I won't say a war, but I'll say a friendly rivalry going on between the people at DevSeed have been working on tools called Context and Spaces for sort of carving up your site into different sections that are like logically defined, so that you can drive the behavior of your site based on, like, am I in the products section rather than, okay, what's the URL? Okay, what content type am I looking at? Oh, am I on this particular view? You know, those kinds of things, you know, driving those from a central, well-organized system is a lot smoother. Well, they've been working on those tools, and you can see those at work in systems like Open Atrium. But then there's also Earl Miles and Sam Boyer and the people who've been working on panels and C tools, and that grew out of a lot of work that Sony had done in building out their multi-site or their artists platform, where they needed to be able to do some of the same kinds of things, but with a little different emphasis. So you sort of had these two tools that related to this, that both dealt with this idea of what's the current context I'm in on the website, and how do I know where I'm at, and how do I know, like, what I should be showing in the sidebars. But they had come at it from different angles, and there was sort of some collisions that were always going on because of the different approaches they had taken. Well, over the past year or so, there's been a lot of work trying to bring those two different approaches together, and at a couple of different sessions at the Dev Summit, a lot of progress was made, and those two teams, along with Larry Garfield and I, are actually working on a sort of unified context that is actually being proposed for Drupal 8 core and would even be able to exist in contrib for Drupal 7. So it's really exciting. There was even a photograph taken of the panels team and the DevSeed team hugging. And it feels really exciting because it's sort of like one of those things where there were two people working on different parallel development tracks and there were conflicts and stuff like that, but we've hit a point where there's enough understanding of both sides of it and the challenges and the pros and cons that we're in a good position to actually come up with a big win for everybody, and that's really, really exciting.
It was definitely one of those things where you kind of needed to choose your method, if not your team, you know, sort of your methodology for it. And
am I a spaces guy or am I a panels guy, you know, or girl, as the case may be.
Yeah. But.
Thank you. Jeff Eden, where do we learn more about that?
Right now, you can find a lot of the discussion and architectural brainstorming going on at groups.drupal.org/butler. B-U-T-L-E-R, so named because one of the presentations about this had a slide of Jeeves and Wooster in it. Okay, that was my slide. But, I mean, it's definitely, like, very, very geared towards, like, wirehead nerd architecture discussion.
Well, right. So to try and simplify it, I will make an attempt, and I'm sometimes successful with these things and sometimes fail horribly, but I will make an attempt. The simplest example of it is when you're defining where blocks will show up on your site, you need to define, you know, sort of like in what context, and Drupal provides a very limited amount of context. There's like, you can have the block show up or not show up based on role, and you can have the block show up or not show up based on the path, and you can put some wildcards in your paths as well, put, you know, asterisks in there so that you could say at node/*, meaning on any node page, show this. But you can't start to get into like specifics of like if it's this taxonomy term or if it's a node of this type, or, you know, without starting to define kind of PHP based rules for this kinds of stuff. And the context module, again, at its simplest, allows you to sort of define which blocks show up where based on more complex rules than this. And panels module, I don't even know if saying this is like panels module just attempts to basically sort of redefine even how you would sort of think of blocks in Drupal.
Context sort of gave everyone a place to stick questions and answers, like, am I in this section? Am I in that section? And people could look to that, to those sort of questions and answers if they wanted to, like, control block visibility. Panels went the other approach and just said, screw it, I'm taking over the page. I'm going to let you stick things here and there right. if you want them to be there. And there were definitely advantages under the hood to both approaches. And hopefully this new path that we're all ironing out right now, it sort of leverages the advantages of both of them and allows something like panels to be built on top of the system without immediately forcing everyone to always lay out their sites as if they were using panels.
Yep.
Yeah, and I got to say also just in terms of like, because basically I was like roaming around DrupalCon just interviewing people the whole time, and this context issue was one of those things that I talked to a number of people about, and it was interesting because, you know, Drupal 7 hasn't even come out yet, and here we are at DrupalCon, like, already planning out Drupal 8, and I think, you know, Dries in his interview that I did with him is like, you know, that may be worrisome for some people, but that's basically what Drupal has done at every DrupalCon. You know, the CCK was being mapped out at the very first, yeah. you know, Drupal meeting, DrupalCon, you know, back in Antwerp. And so now it's in core, but it sort of evolved from like Fexley node and CCK, and eventually CCK went out and it lived in Contribland for a few years, and now it's been contributed to core. And the same thing with the database system and being architected, you know, a couple of years ago, and now it's in Drupal core. So at each DrupalCon, there's like a chance for the developers to get together and have these like huge architectural discussions about like what the biggest pain points in Drupal are. And in this DrupalCon, it was definitely like context was at the top of the list, even more so than views, let's say, because views can exist, but and it's fine as a contributed module. But when you talk about this particular problem, there's like two or three different ways that like kind of ripple back up to how Drupal core is operating. And so it's like people are getting together and trying to figure out ways to make Drupal work better at the core level. So it was just kind of interesting to kind of to listen into some of those discussions that were happening, and Dimitri Gaskin, you know, being
Dimitri's awesome
participating in those. So
Dimitri being what, 14 or 15 now?
Yes, he's 14 now. He played accordion on the Drupal song in the closing thing, and he's not only an amazing accordion player, he's also an amazing developer. And he farms. Hey, what does he do?
He said the three things he likes to do is music, Drupal, and farming.
Farming?
Holy cow!
The world is not safe.
I gotta say.
Actually, it's been... there's one other 14-year-old that we have in our community. His name's Aiden, and he's from Portland, and he was doing patch stuff in the Coder Lounge in the evenings. So... watch out, Dimitri. You got someone on your tail.
Well, I think it's a testament to sort of Drupal as a inclusive community, and democratic isn't even the right thing to say, just as much as just like kind of people are free to be self-empowered, you know. It's like we talk about it being a meritocracy. Where it's just like, yeah, if you're capable of doing stuff, do stuff. And if you're doing awesome stuff, people will recognize it as awesome. And
then you will have patches submitted to you and people will bug you at DrupalCon.
Yes, people will recognize it as being awesome. And then eventually they will come to you and say, it's awesome, but it's broken. You need to fix it.
Oh, fame.
But so going back to this context thing, just kind of wrapping it up, I think that there's a trend for people who are new to Drupal and the concept of Drupal of DrupalCon being a place for people to get together and sort of work out what these problems are, talk about the different solutions that they've started to come up with in Contrib outside of, you know, Drupal core, the Drupal core download. And eventually a lot of these things start to sort of make their way in when they're a problem that needs to be solved at the core of Drupal. They can make their way into core. And we're seeing actually a whole bunch of those things going in for Drupal 7. Jeff Eaton's token module is something that's part of Drupal 7 now, updated version. And Karen's CCK has almost pretty much fully made it into Drupal core at this point.
And her date stuff too.
Oh, really?
Some of the date stuff is made. It's slowly. Date's dribbling in.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not all of it that makes it in. It's just some of it. And, you know, so that... oftentimes, you know, the Contrib repository is this sort of like Wild West place where kind of modules get to kind of do whatever they want and sort of fight it out, and the best ones sort of float to the top and then oftentimes are able to be included into Drupal core.
It's like Thunderdome.
Yeah, I don't think my Wild West metaphor really worked if things are floating to the top. It, all of a sudden it was an ocean. So, I don't know. It's like some underwater Wild West. Core Developer Summit. Then Sunday was the training day, which we already mentioned. And since we've got three more days of DrupalCon to cover before the end of the podcast, I'll just sort of gloss over that one. Day of training. And then DrupalCon started on Monday. Woo! And that was when everyone showed up. And we got our booth set up at DrupalCon, and we had all our videos sitting out, and we're selling our videos, which was fun. It was a good chance for people to come up to us and say, "Oh, this is your podcast. It's lots of fun. I watch your videos. They're super helpful." And
you should giggle less.
Oh, well, if we giggled less, we wouldn't have as much fun doing these, and we wouldn't do them as often. Although we can't keep up with the Drupal voices. Kent's just cranking those out. Kent, what are you up to now? How many Drupal voices are there out?
Just today I published the 93rd one.
93rd.
I did 46. I did 46 in DrupalCon DC. I did 43 in Paris, and I did 81 here in San Francisco.
Yes. So not obviously those aren't all out yet. We'll release those over the next couple of weeks. Couple of months. And people, if you're not subscribed to Drupal Voices podcast as well, you can go to lullabot.com and click around and find it and get that in your iTunes as well as this one, which we just call the Lullabot podcast. Not super imaginative names, but that's what we call them. We also have a new video. I'm just going to take a quick moment and mention our new video. It's our first non-Drupal specific video. It's called Introduction to jQuery, and it's like 3 hours and 11 minutes of jQuery magical magicness. And you can find it at store.lullabot.com. And again, for people who are new to Drupal, jQuery is the JavaScript library that's used in Drupal. Basically, if you start doing anything with JavaScript in Drupal, Drupal will automatically just assume that you want to use jQuery and kind of toss it up on the page so that you can use jQuery functionality as well. And the video shows you how to use jQuery and kind of all the cool stuff that you can do with it.
And for good reason, because you should want to use jQuery.
It's. I mean, I used to do what I thought was JavaScript development, and it was frustrating, and I would just sort of give up on trying to make sure that it worked in different browsers and stuff like that. And jQuery just makes it a lot more fun and more rewarding and faster and stuff like that. And I mean, jQuery's been around since 2000. It kind of got a sort of a slow start in 2006. It really kind of picked up in 2007 and got included in Drupal in Drupal 5. And now it's something like 27% of the top 100,000 websites on the internet use jQuery. So it's super popular. People love it. We love it. Drupal loves it, and now we have a video explaining how to use it. And then in about a month, is that right, Kent? About a month, we'll have another video coming out that is more Drupal-specific, assuming that people understand how to use jQuery, having watched our introduction to jQuery video, we've got a video called jQuery and JavaScript in Drupal, which kind of talks about Drupal-specific JavaScript and Ajax kinds of stuff and the APIs that are built into Drupal for doing that kind of stuff. I think all in all, when we actually sat down and kind of looked at the video, I think it's probably, would you say, Kent, it's probably our most advanced video.
Yeah, it's fun. It's kind of funny how this JavaScript and jQuery video is one of the more advanced videos because it goes into the Forms API, and we're looking at the AHA framework in Drupal 6, and we're also looking at Drupal 7. So because we're looking at both 6 and 7, where there's a lot of things that are changing in Drupal 7. So it's a bit of a preview of things that are changing in Drupal 7.
It sort of builds on a lot of stuff. It sort of like builds on our theming videos, it builds on our module building videos, and it builds on the introduction to jQuery video. So there's sort of a whole bunch of sort of kind of prerequisite knowledge with it. But but it's ninja knowledge kinds of stuff. So that'll be out in about a month, something like that. Yep. So DrupalCon starts on Monday, and people come in, and the sessions started. We said that there were 132 different sessions happened over those 3 days, all different kinds of stuff.
They actually had 6 different tracks this year. I think that's something that's kind of new as well. They had like a Welcome to Drupal track, the Design, Theme, and Usability track, the Under the Hood, so like looking at the more API level Drupal 7 stuff, like site building, configuration, and administrative type of stuff. And then a couple of things like providing professional Drupal services and then leveraging Drupal for your business, so more kind of businessy administrative
business track,
stuff.
Yeah. So some that was like intentionally less technical,
right.
That in the past, I think, as we've said, Drupal sort of veered towards focus, DrupalCon veered towards focusing on the developers. But I think here there was more of an acknowledgement of business as well. And I guess it's also worth mentioning that there were a whole lot of people that did not come to DrupalCon because they were stuck in Europe behind a giant cloud of volcanic ash.
Yeah. If you were following Twitter that week, you might have seen people Twittering with the hashtag #ashtag. And it was grim. Ash everywhere, volcanoes.
Yeah.
Angry Norse gods.
I hope it has nothing to do with our Aeger podcast.
It was actually actually suggested by several attendees.
We have angered the Norse gods by mispronouncing their names.
We just had to go and meddle with them.
Is it Aegir? I don't know. Okay. Keep talking. Anybody want to announce to pronounce the name of the volcano?
Like Aya Efya Playa Kador.
Oh, no. You gotta go like.
Take your tongue. Take your tongue. Swallow it, and then try to throw up.
See, Kent, you're like
Kent. If you get it close, but you don't pronounce it correctly, the volcano will be angry at you.
Sorry.
Don't anger the volcano.
There are other conferences than ours. We should be considerate.
So the Drupal community, ever so innovative and resourceful, immediately started a new conference in Europe, Drupal Volcon. Drupal Volcano Conference happened, and basically some of the people who were stuck there got together and basically, I don't know, watched the streams from San Francisco. You can see the website for that conference at belgium.drupalvolcon.com. We went to drupalvolcon.com, but that's not very exciting. It's the Drupal install page.
I just love the fact that like our community like spins off conferences like we spin off modules.
They spin off websites, right? Yeah.
It's like, we need a conference. Okay, go. We've got a conference.
Yeah. So, and then Monday night we had a big Lullabot party with karaoke, and Kent did his hula hooping extravaganza.
It was epic.
It was truly epic.
It was awesome.
If you haven't seen Kent by hula hooping, you should do a Google search for Kent by Hula Hoop. And
not to mention Jeff Eaton and Larry Garfield.
Oh, dear.
Yes, they were too sexy for their shirts.
Too sexy. I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Yes.
It's a wonderful song for karaoke because it's only got one note.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
There's an amazing version of Purple Rain, too.
Yes.
Yeah, Jack Aponte just tore up, what was it, Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer, and the entire place was just, like, screaming. It was awesome.
I think the lesson learned was, like, developers and, like, basically web people love their karaoke. Just, you wouldn't think.
Everyone thought I was crazy when I said, I think we should have karaoke at our party.
That was Jeff Robbins all the way right there.
The blue Kool-Aid, that was the kicker.
Yes, we did drink the Drupal Kool-Aid at our party, and we actually made an arrangement with the bar to have blue Kool-Aid drink.
Nice.
It wasn't just Kool-Aid. I'll just say that.
Oh,
Kool-Aid. Shall we say Kool-Aid Plus?
That explains the karaoke.
Or as they say in France, Kool-Aid Plus. So that was Monday night. Microsoft also had a big presence at DrupalCon this year. They threw parties both Monday and Tuesday night, and they served free booze, I understand. We had blue Kool-Aid, but they had free booze. We had karaoke, but they had free booze.
It's actually really cool to see Microsoft showing up and not like, I mean, you know, in the olden days, it was like, hey, use SharePoint. And like now they've got a booth there telling people how awesome it is to run Drupal on a Microsoft server, you know.
Well, they also paid, I don't know if they exchanged money. I think they might have paid the commerce guys and Drupal, or Damien Tourneau of the commerce guys to develop the PDO driver for the Microsoft SQL.
Oh yeah, that's right. So now you can even use like
run, plug that into Drupal 7 for the Microsoft SQL servers to be able to run websites on. So
yeah, I mean, it's I like Linux, but I mean, like, I originally came into the Drupal community as a guy working in a Microsoft shop, and we just wanted to use Drupal for an internal knowledge base at the company. Well, okay, I was using it for personal stuff, and I was trying to convince my company we should also use it for our internal knowledge base, but that's another matter. But no, I mean, it was difficult because it essentially turned out at that time, you know, 5 years ago, that it was easier just to get a Linux box and try to make it work on your Microsoft network than to try to get it to run on a Microsoft server. So the idea that now a lot of those barriers aren't there, and that you can say, hey, we're a Microsoft shop, but we want to use Drupal, you can drop that in place now, and it works without all kinds of insane, crazy hacking. It's really encouraging.
Have you actually tried it yet, though?
It can't be any worse than 4.6.
But yeah, I'm just going to say my verdict is still out on that one.
I mean, that's part of what some of the stuff in Drupal 7 really gets us, though. Things like the abstracted database layer. We're not just rolling our own now. We're using PDO, which is built into... PHP now, and a lot of underlying stuff that we were sort of taking on the burden of doing ourselves in previous versions of Drupal is now handled by PHP's internal database abstraction layer, and we just have to write some it's not trivial, but it's lightweight in sort of relative terms to add support for new database engines. So
I was actually pretty intimidated by that whole thing, you know. But I went to Larry Garfield's session on dbtng and totally calmed all my fears, because you basically can do the same stuff, mm-hmm. but in certain situations you need to use more object-oriented approach, and it's way more powerful. It's awesome.
Arrows. Learn to love the arrows.
So let's talk about the keynotes that happened at the conference. On Monday, Dries Boitart, Drupal project founder, gave his keynote, as he has been at every DrupalCon that had keynotes in the past. He had some interesting statistics. What was it? That Drupal runs over 1% of websites now, or web pages?
I think it was websites of the web.
Yeah, Dries said that during college he built a crawler to kind of crawl all of the internet to kind of like see how many Drupal sites there were out there. And Acquia apparently put in some more resources to continue that project. I guess he apparently is crawling the entire web to see.
Dries' secret web crawler is public now.
Yeah.
I've known about this for a while, but I wasn't sure if I could say anything. But yes, Dries' secret creepy crawler. But yeah, so it's turning up basically 1% of the sites out there are Drupal sites.
I think they also looked at the top percent, or the top of, I don't know if it's 1,000 or 1,000,000 websites on Alexa, and saw that there was also around 1%. And interesting, it was like 8% of it was like WordPress, which I thought was kind of an interesting number.
8% of the web is WordPress.
Of the top sites.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. It makes sense. I mean, considering how much traffic these days on the web is driven purely by like people blogging or like doing reasonably blog-like stuff, I mean, it really does make sense.
But I think that number is going to grow a lot over time as well, mm-hmm. in terms of...
Well, I think so, too. I mean, Drupal is just, it's more to get your head around, more to build a site on than WordPress. We like to think it's more rewarding, but it's not something that you roll out as quickly as WordPress, and so...
Well, as I like to say, use Drupal to figure out what features are going to be in WordPress 2 years from now.
Nice.
I gotta step away from Jeff Eaton right now.
I say it with love.
On Tuesday, Tim O'Reilly was the keynote speaker. Tim O'Reilly of O'Reilly Media, disclaimer, the publisher of the Lullabot book using Drupal. He got up and talked about sort of larger context stuff, right? I mean, like, he talked a lot about sort of the mobile web and
He termed it the internet operating system.
Yeah.
Sort of like and he also said cloud computing, which you would kind of just assume it was just like Amazon Web Services, like hosting your stuff, but he kind of used it in a different context. And a lot of his talk was like cloud computing doesn't mean what you think it means. And basically what he's saying that it means is that a lot of the cloud computing is that there's going to be all these mobile devices out there that are going to be not just ways of accessing the internet, but new sensors and input into the internet with cameras and GPS and other sort of mobile remote data collecting sensors. And just like, and thinking in terms of like, that's the huge growth area of the larger web. And so just ways of thinking about how Drupal fits into that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to talk to Tim some before his keynote, and he was talking about this idea where basically like the web is dead, which sounds very provocative, doesn't it? But with devices like the iPhone and the iPad and even the Android-based devices and stuff like that, a lot of these things are actually using the data from websites much more than the websites themselves. And even to some point, like I got an iPad and it has a Netflix application, and the Netflix application basically just seems to be like the Netflix website, and it doesn't feel right. It feels like they haven't actually created an application. So I guess the converse side of that is that you know, what people expect out of these mobile applications, and if you can call the iPad mobile, you know, but is this sort of integrated application feeling, kind of applications, but that use the web data from the web. And so Drupal has historically done a really great job of separating, the presentation from the functionality and even the data, is a whole nother layer below that. You know, there are modules out there that don't get talked about a lot, particularly on this podcast, but like the services module and stuff like that, which allow you to sort of expose web services on your site for if you were building something like an iPhone app. And so there's stuff that's there. And then likewise, also integrating Drupal into other sites using, you know, Facebook login systems or stuff like that. So it's interesting, particularly at a DrupalCon, to see this sort of larger view of the web and start to see how Drupal kind of fits into it. And I think Drupal fits in pretty well.
Especially with the RDF stuff. Now that, you know, Drupal 7 has a lot of the RDF stuff in it, and you know, Tim was talking a lot about just the data and being able to cross post things and find data all over the internet. RDF kind of helps with that by, you know, standardizing things. And I think that's kind of where Drupal fits into it at this point.
Yeah, and also Tim didn't say in his keynote, but in the interview that I did with him in Drupal Voices, he basically told me that Drupal is one of the most important open source projects right now. Part of the reason for that is that it has created a successful architecture of participation, you know, just to be able to get so many different people involved on different levels and be able to participate, that's like a sure sign of like success. And just the fact that Drupal's been able to kind of like eat its own dog food by running Drupal.org with Drupal, just by doing that, I think the community has sort of evolved over time, and the software has sort of served that ability to be able to create that architecture of having many different people participate and contribute and like help make this awesome piece of software.
Yep. And then the Wednesday keynote was David Cole, who from the White House. What is his position over there? Is he
Senior advisor to the CIO. He used to be on the new media team, like the deputy director of technology of the new media team. He's kind of a Drupal guy. He is the Drupal guy of the White House, but he kind of got, I guess, a promotion to.
And speaking of 14-year-olds, he was he's like 22 or something like that. giving this keynote. He knows his stuff, man. It was really interesting to see him up there. He talked about all the different modules that were being used on the White House website. I think when the White House website first launched, there was sort of this feeling of like, oh, and we even see this with other popular sites where people announce them, but they don't really talk about what modules are being used or how their configuration is or, you know, what their infrastructure is, what, you know, what they're doing for servers and stuff like that. But he got up there and basically put up lists of which modules were being used. And that was fun for those of us who are or have been module developers in the past to go like, hey, my module is being used on Drupal.org.
He actually had people stand up. He said, everyone in the room that is involved in any of these modules stand up, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, very cool. And then they released some modules that had been built specifically for the White House website. And there were good ones, too. Do we have the list somewhere of the...
Yeah, one of them is an email thing. It's actually probably only going to be useful for... My understanding is like for government email services, yeah. But the idea is to make it easier for other government agencies, like local government agencies, to be able to use Drupal. Yep. So that was one of his big things was that we should really try to get our local governments using Drupal because they've tried to think about those things.
Yep. That module is called Gov Delivery. Which is integrates with sort of government email systems. And I guess that there's a lot of As with a lot of government stuff, there's a lot of sort of regulations and restrictions and stuff like that. And so, you know, things need to be logged in certain ways and needs to be public data. And so I'm assuming that sort of works in a generally acceptable way with those systems. There was also a module called Context Headers, which works with the context module. Another shout out to the good folks at Development Seed who did the context module. It works with context module to provide context based on HTML, HTTP headers so that if you have a mobile device or something like that, you can provide a different context based on the HTTP headers coming in. Another module is the Akamai module, which basically allows your website to better, easier integration with the Akamai content delivery network, which we used very heavily with Grammy.com when we launched that site earlier this year. We're big proponents of content delivery networks in general and Akamai in particular. We've had really good luck with. It's sometimes out of budget for smaller websites, but kind of smaller websites don't need it. but if you're doing a big popular website that's going to get a lot of traffic, it's a good thing. And now there's a module for it. And another module called Node Embed, which I thought was pretty cool to watch the little demo they did. It's sort of like does it work with Node what's the CCK field? It's Node Relationships?
Node Reference.
Node Reference. That's it. Is it that or is it like that?
No, it looks like it's just a filter. Mm-hmm. It's like you put a little filter, the Node ID basically in.
Yeah.
Is it a token? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
And in your content, you would, but there's like a pop-up browser, so you can choose different nodes. So if you wanted to make
FCK editor integration.
Right. Right. So if you wanted to make a one node that's sort of an aggregation of various other nodes, maybe teasers from other nodes or that kind of a thing, it allows that to happen. I don't really know too much about it other than what I saw in the quick demo.
It's the sort of impetus behind it is the Section 508 compliance, which is basically the regulation that means that you have to have any government site has to be accessible. So it's kind of a tool to help meet that compliance for any rich content.
Cool. What else? Another sort of announcement at DrupalCon, in addition to the White House announcements, is the we did a beta launch of buzzer.com. So we've mentioned this project a couple of times. It's a sort of an adjunct Lullabot project that we've been working on for a while now. Hosted, simplified Drupal. Buzzer is sort of a what we call a usability layer on top of Drupal, which takes a lot of the decision making out of Drupal, simplifies the interface, and allows you to do a lot of the sort of rich kinds of things that you would want to do with Drupal, but in a much more simplified way. And you can find out more about that at buzzer.com, B-U-Z-Z-R.com. And it's something that we've been chipping away at for a while. We put up a video about a year ago as a lot of the Drupal 7 user interface stuff was starting to be thought about. It was a lot of stuff that we'd thought about with Buzzer as well. We didn't actually have a name for it at the time when we created the video. But we wanted to participate in that discussion, and so we put up a video showing the interface for Buzzer, and have continued to chip away at it, and we've gotten it to a point where it's a beta launch ready, and people can come and try it out. And Karen Stevenson's been doing a lot of work on Buzzer,
yeah.
It's neat.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
it's really interesting because it's it just completely hides a lot of complicated stuff, which is, you know, the whole thing, right? Drupal's still pretty complicated.
Well, and the hard part from a it isn't even really development. It's you know, user interface standpoint is deciding what to hide, deciding
right.
what decisions you're not going to give to people, and making those decisions for
right.
them.
Basically, trying to figure out what are logical things to just assume to make people's lives easier.
Yeah. What does it mean?
Just do those things.
What does it mean with one click to turn on blogging on the website? And you need to decide that. With Drupal, there are so many decisions to make, and people get frustrated sometimes saying, I just want to blog. Why do I need to make all these decisions? And so Buzzer makes that easier. But it's got all Drupal underneath the hood, and you can build a site with it. And if you want to do more than what Buzzer does, you can export it and get to all the Drupal-y goodness underneath the hood.
Because it's still Drupal.
It's still Drupal. There was another fun website that launched at DrupalCon that we were having lots of fun playing with as Drupal developers. A website that Greg Knadison, known as Greggles, on Drupal.org, and his company, Growing Ventures Solutions.
Growing Ventures, yeah.
Launched a website called Certified to Rock, which I believe is at certifiedtorock.com.
Yeah, that's correct.
It is. And it's basically, you just go there and you enter in your Drupal.org username, and it's got some secret.
Yeah, it's case sensitive. People were having all kinds of problems.
Case sensitive.
have to be exactly right.
Yes. And
yeah, it's a really neat concept, though, because we've always said, like, and we've had discussions on Lullabot.com and elsewhere about whether or not there should be Drupal certification, and how do you actually certify that someone knows what they're doing because they could have just crammed for the exam and blah, blah, blah. And this site basically attempts to analyze a user's Drupal.org activity and determine from that a relative sort of karma level in terms of their contribution, with, like, Dries being on the, you know, Dries and Earl, I think, being on the far end with 11 points, and someone who just joined the community today being at 1, you know. And so it's an interesting method, because we often use that when we're evaluating, like, employees or potential hires for, you know, some of our clients and stuff like that. And we'll read the Drupal.org user profile page and can determine from that, you know, how long have they been in the community, how many modules are they, you know.
Well, it goes back to a discussion that we've been involved in a lot. I mean, we do a lot of training, and there's this talk oftentimes about Drupal certification, and the question is giving someone a test or teaching them what they need to answer on a test enough to really say that they're like a good Drupal person to hire, that they're going to, you know, be helpful for you on your projects. And one of the interesting things about open source, and a thing that Matt Westgate, co-founder of Lullabot, talks about from time to time at various conferences, is this idea of open source being open resumes, that basically if you're an open source contributor, your resume is kind of what you've done, your commitment and the quality of your code and your involvement in the community and all that kind of stuff is kind of out there, and that oftentimes what's even more useful than looking at a Drupal developer's resume is to kind of look at their involvement in Drupal. And this basically, like I said, with some secret algorithms closely guarded by Griggles, kind of goes around and finds out how much you've been involved and kind of what you've done. And I'm guessing it does things like not only look at the modules that you've contributed, but who uses the module, you know, how many users there are of the modules that you've contributed. And
but that's the thing. We can we
don't,
only guess.
We don't know, but this is the kind of thing that I would, you know, look at. And then code quality and all that kind of stuff sort of all plays into kind of this aspect of things. So
That was part of the fun of this whole thing. I think Jeff Eaton and I and some of the other Lullabots stayed up for a couple hours the one night trying to figure out what he was using for his algorithm.
And then he had Drupal hats, right?
Oh, yeah, that was that awesome. He had a five or more score on here. You qualified for – well, you had – and you had to tweet about it. You then qualified for these hats, these knit hats that he had gotten that are, what was it? They were like from South America or something.
Yeah. Venezuela. I think he had them made, and
in addition, they're reversible. So there's a Drupal on one side and a llama uh-huh. on the other.
And a llama. Exactly. So, yeah. So I don't know. I got a six. I was pretty proud of myself. I have a lot of modules that I wrote years ago, but, don't do a whole lot of module development these days, but I got a six, which is enough to get a hat, so I always felt like I qualified.
I think one of the really interesting things about this is, I mean, there's, you know, he said they know absolutely there's back and forth discussion going on about like why certain people got, you know, a five versus a six or a seven, or, you know, how the ranking system works, and, you know, well, does it take into account this thing that a person has done or that contribution that a person has made? And I he said that that's essentially the whole idea behind it, that, you know, when we start talking about what makes someone a good contributor or a valuable person in the community or whatever, you know, it's a complicated question. It's a very complicated question. And I think one of the comments that I overheard was, you know, one of the challenges with like going through expensive certification programs is, you know, if you think you're frustrated by the fact that you got a four, imagine having paid $2,000 to get that four. You know, and then having a heated disagreement about whether it should be a five or a six or something like that. And I mean, I think eventually we're definitely moving towards the point where the community has to be able to figure out how to capture these kinds of things, and where companies who are looking to hire people need to figure out how to answer these kinds of questions. But I think that this particular project really has helped move it out of the realm of, oh, someone will figure that out, and certifications would solve that, to actually getting people to start thinking about the details of, okay, but what would that actually mean? And, you know, if somebody had a super pro ultra certificate, what would that actually mean? And how, you know, how would we know what that correlates to? And I think that's a really, really valuable conversation to have in a community like Drupal's.
Well, and oftentimes when people come up and they say, you know, I want to get involved in Drupal, what should I do? I say, go out and, you know, create some modules that need to be created, or get involved in modules that are looking for maintainers. Usually I'll point them to any of my modules that I'm currently not maintaining. You know, and kind of get involved. Go out and go to the local user meetups and just start to get involved in the community. And it's interesting that this starts to put some sort of a metric with it. I've been, while people have been talking here, I've been looking up some numbers for people on the podcast. Karen Stevenson who's known as Karen S. on Drupal.org, has a 10.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Nicely done, that's awesome. Karen.
And this, but Angie Byron, who's known as Webchick on Drupal.org, who is also the co-maintainer of the Drupal 7, the next version coming out, has a 9. So I
yeah, that extra point is for not losing her mind when she learned about Aztec calendars. So I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah. Jeff Eaton has a 7. Even though he has 18,000 different modules. Who else? Kent, are you on here? Let's see. Yeah, Kent Bai, like there you are. Kent Bai, like 4. There you go. Kent, you just have like one module to your name, right?
Yeah. Well, CHX and Damien Tarnow were like kind of wondering what the algorithm is, because I think CHX only has like a 5, and so there's something to like people who are working on the core. Maybe it's, you know, if they're super focused on one area, they're not like getting as much of the certified Dirac juice. Or
yeah,
something.
It's funny. It's funny they've put themselves in like that Google position, Google ranking. Now they've got this certified Dirac, and they're going to change their algorithm, and everyone's going to get all up in arms. Oh, they came the you know, San Francisco update.
But I think that's a fascinating thing for the community to figure out how to grapple with, you know, before, like, you know, thousands of dollars per person are on the line. You know, if we, you know, I think it's really valuable for these kinds of questions to get bubbled up, because, yeah, I mean, this kind of thing is never going to be perfectly accurate, but, you know, I don't know. I'm all for it. It's like performance art embodied in Drupal code.
Yes. And just for the sake of completeness, Jared Bittner, known as Circuitry, Circitree, on Drupal.org, has a 5 and also gets a hat. And then I think I mentioned earlier, I get a 6. So I get a hat too.
I'm wearing it right now.
There you go.
Yes.
So yeah. Yeah, podcast is starting to go a little long. We should probably start wrapping this baby up, but
just love it too much.
Let's see.
Yeah, I have just a couple of things I wanted to say.
Sure.
Just sort of like roaming around all the DrupalCon.
Yeah. So in case we didn't,
the different trends.
In case we didn't say it clearly, Kent Bai spent almost the entirety of his San Francisco DrupalCon experience walking around with headphones and a portable recorder, doing interviews. He did 81 interviews and talked to a lot of different people. And now Kent is our resident. What up with that person? Because he's talked to everyone. And so if you ever have a question like, what up with that? It's like, I don't know. Talk to Kent. He talked to that guy and there's an interview. And we will be putting up all of the interviews over time. So Kent, what up with that?
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of give like the different zeitgeist of Drupal sort of report just from what I was observing. And what was interesting this time was that the examiner.com was kind of like this, like no matter who I talked to, it seemed like this person ended up going back to examiner.com in some way. And it was a lot of people who were working on Drupal 7 core. And so a lot of stuff that like Drupal Gardens, the examiner.com, and the Drupal Commerce guys were all sort of working very closely with a number of Drupal 7 core developers and building their platforms out on Drupal 7. And they all sort of recommended this is not a thing you want to do unless you have like people on the Drupal core team. But these are people who are kind of like out in the wild building their next biggest sites on Drupal 7. And so some interesting things like the examiner.com is like using the new the Fields API to plug into MongoDB, which is like the NoSQL performance thing where it's just jamming everything into a database and indexing it on the fly. So I got some stuff on that. Context and features and distribution is something that's like came up a lot. People like building their own distributions. It seems like that's like a big trend to kind of like package up stuff. There's like Open Publish 2.0 was released, and from Phase 2 Technology, and another open government distributions, and just more and more people talking about distributions. And the final like big thing that I'll just sort of point out here is that there was some interesting discussions that I had about accessibility with Everett Zufelt that I think are really important. diversity in the Drupal community is something that kind of bubbled up on the fringes of people that were in minorities at DrupalCon, just sort of voicing the fact of, you know, at this point, how do we move forward with making the Drupal community more diverse than it already is? So I think that'll be sort of an interesting discussion. And yeah, and other than that, it was just a lot of just talking to people about the different, you know, information architecture, theming, performance, deployments. Mobile was another big thing at DrupalCon. And yeah, over the next, I guess, 20 weeks, we'll be having 4 week and about 16 to 17 hours worth of content that I got. So,
prepare your iPods, everyone. Drupal Voices is on the move. Yeah, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to those. And they'll all be up on lullabot.com. If you can't keep up with them, just use the search function on the website to find what you need. Cool. Great. Well, there you go. Let's just call that a podcast. What do you say?
Sounds good.
Woohoo.
It was a great, great conference stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing was that we got a lot of ideas for some upcoming podcasts. People want us to do a podcast talking about Grammy.com and the work that we did, sort of particularly from a performance standpoint, what it took to build that out and keep it up and stuff like that. And I think that there might be a podcast out there somewhere talking about sort of panels, contexts, and spaces. Hopefully we won't have any blood spilt in that podcast. I've got some
probably
other.
Have one on Git too at some point. I did a Drupal Voices podcast, but the whole move to Git was another thing that's going to change the Drupal community, I think, in the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. We're moving from CVS, an old antiquated, practically abandoned revision control system, to Git, which is brand new and fresh and futuristic. And it was all Angie's decision.
Wow. I had something to do with it. I had a really bad week one week, and I was just like, you know what, screw it, we're gonna figure this out. And we did. We had like a big long discussion for a week, and that was what we came up with. And now I'm using my position on the Drupal Association to try and come up with the requirements doc and sort of secure some funding to help trade, because it'd be awesome if we could roll this out, you know, like this year. Because I think it would do a lot for the velocity of the development of Drupal 8 and stuff like that. So
yeah.
In my spare time, you know, I want to try and do some stuff around that. So
it's kind of interesting because big decisions like this, well, it's been talked about a long time, but I mean, actually suddenly saying, okay, now we're going to decide, and then it's decided, is almost unheard of. It doesn't usually happen that way.
Angie got to the end of her rope and said, we're deciding. I'm tired of all the talk around this. Let's just go with
it. It happens, you know. But yeah, no. People, when Dries announced that in his keynote, the entire 3,000 people, whatever, that were there, just erupted in applause. So I think it was a good decision. I think people are going to be really excited when we get that rolled out. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for sticking it out to the end of yet another Lullabot podcast. We'll try and gather some of these links that we mentioned in the podcast here and put them up. If we miss any, feel free to add them on in the comments of the podcast. And we'll see you next time on the next podcast. Thanks. Take care. Bye bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye guys.
Bye everybody.